And welcome back, everybody. I'm Robert Breaker, and this will be our sermon for the week. This week I've been praying and trying to figure out what exactly the Lord would have me to preach on. And oftentimes I get a message during the week for my Sunday message, and it's not always something that I want to talk about. But I just feel like the Lord has laid it on my heart to speak on this today, so that's what we're going to do. Go with me to the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations. We're going to start there today in the book of Lamentations. And what we're going to talk about today is lamenting or lamentations. And we're going to look at what a lamentation is. And I was reading through Jeremiah and reading through Lamentations, and I began to think about what Israel went through before their captivity to Babylon. Because Israel had turned against God and the Bible, God brought another nation against them to put them in captivity and to suppress them and to lord over them and to actually destroy Jerusalem. And this was God's judgment on them for turning against Him. And a lot of the things that I read in Jeremiah and in Lamentations, as God judged the nation of Israel, reminded me of my country, the United States of America. And I love my country. I love my country. I'm just saddened to see the road that it's gone down against God in the Bible. And I know my Bible, and I know history, and I know that God gave us the Bible to give us learning of examples of things that happened aforetime or before. And if America continues on the path that it's on, God's judgment is going to fall upon this nation. And I don't want to see that, but I can't help but see that the direction we're headed is the way against God. And I wanted to share some verses with you about what Israel went through, and I want you to see the correlation of what America is about to go through. We hear talk daily of an economic collapse. We hear talk daily of perhaps a coming war and possibly a nuclear war. What a horrible thing that would be. We hear daily of the possibility of food running out because the prices are so high. We hear daily the possibility of fuel going so high that people can't afford it and then they can't travel. We are hearing daily of all these things that could happen. And folks, this is all the judgment of God upon America for what they've done in going against God in the Bible. And I don't want that. I want to warn you. All throughout the Old Testament, God called prophets to warn the people. And they were usually one person, but they had God on their side. And one guy and God is a majority. But often when they'd give the message of, hey, you need to repent or else God will send judgment, many of them were stoned. Many of them were sawn asunder. Many of them were crucified or assassinated because people don't want to hear judgment's coming. People want to hear, no, it's all good. Everything's going to be just great. But the problem is it's not just great. Everything is going downhill, going to hell in a handbasket. Things are getting worse. And before you know it, we're all going to be in a world of hurt. So I want to give you some scriptures on that. Let's begin in the book of Lamentations. Now, the book of Lamentations is about the laments of the destruction of Jerusalem in 586-587 BC by the Babylonians, which came into Israel and led into captivity the people of Israel. A lamentation is an expression of sorrow, mourning, or regret. And I believe that very soon there's going to be a lot of people having sorrow and regret for what's happening in our country. I looked up lamentation in the 1828 dictionary. It's an expression of sorrow, cries of grief, the act of bewailing. I looked up lament. Lamentation comes from the verb lament, to mourn, to grieve, to weep or wail, to express sorrow, to regret deeply, to feel sorrow. Grief or sorrow expressed in complaints or cries. A weeping. And we're living in a day and age where there's a lot of people that are seeing things that are happening that they don't necessarily agree with. And they're asking questions. They're going, what's really going on? And they haven't reached that point yet to where they're so full of sorrow that they begin to just wail and cry and just scream out and go, no, I can't take it anymore. But we're right on the verge of being there. All it would take is another war. And then your sons and your daughters go to fight and die. Do you know how hurt you are when you lose a loved one? We've seen many people lose loved ones through this whole, what they call the pandemic. And many people are hurting and crying. And they're beginning to experience the beginning of lamentation or sorrow. But it's going to get way worse. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's about to get even worse. I can remember some situations in my life where I couldn't sleep at night, and I remember being on my knees and praying and just tears coming down, and I could barely breathe, and you know, I couldn't even breathe, and snot pouring out my nose and spit rolling down my face, and just, God, I cry out to you, help, Lord. And I remember times like that. In Honduras, we lost our first baby. And I remember my wife and I and the tears that we shed over the loss of our first child. And so I know a little bit about this. And I don't wish this upon anyone. But if the Lord tarries, there's going to be some bad things take place soon in this world. And it doesn't take a genius to see the coming collapse of the economy. It doesn't take a genius to see more plagues coming upon the earth. It doesn't take a genius to see war and more unrest and riots and corruption and things like that. And it's all going to lead to sorrow on a massive global scale. So let's begin here reading the book of Lamentation. The prophet Jeremiah wrote this book, and he cried for his people and for his nation and for their capital city of Jerusalem that was destroyed. And he felt great sorrow and mourning and regret for the fact that his people had become so evil and so worldly and so carnal that they lost everything they had. Let's go ahead and read Lamentations chapter 1 and just get a feel for what it was like in that time. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is become as a widow, she that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces? How has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Well, it hurts to have someone that you trusted before that was a friend to become an enemy. That really hurts. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. Let's continue. Verse 8 through 12. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Why did this happen? Why did God allow the overthrow of his nation and his city, Zion, that he loved? Because of sin. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts. Corruption, filthiness, wickedness is what brought down Jerusalem. And that is what will bring down America. Therefore she came down wonderfully. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She hath no comforter, O Lord. Behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. The adversary hath spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things, for she hath seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that thou should not enter into thy congregation. They were allowing people to come into their country that weren't supposed to be there. It was like they were allowing open borders, and their borders were being overrun by a foreign people that did not believe the same way that she did and had a different God. See the different correlations with America? It says, all her people sigh, they seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. He said, man, it affects my health to see the downfall of my nation. It hurts. And it's all the time I almost want to just pass out because I spend my time in prayer and crying for my nation. And it hurts to see them destroyed. Verse 16, for these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy has prevailed. Verse 20, behold, O Lord, for I am distressed. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth. At home there is death. All over America, we're seeing many cities getting rid of police. And we're seeing many cities having crime rampant. We're seeing homeless people defecating in the streets. We're seeing people let out of jail. And we're just seeing evil and wickedness just taking place everywhere. And it's like, why? What is this? Why is this taking place? Well, it's the devil. It's the Luciferian doctrine of Satanism. And what is Satanism? Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. No morals, no constraint, no listening to the Bible and not sinning. No, go sin and do whatever you want. And that will always bring destruction from God, because God has to judge a sinful nation. And we're seeing America becoming what Israel was, falling into sin. Let's go over to Lamentations chapter 5. And in Lamentations chapter 5, I just want you to get a feel for this book, and I want to ask this question. Have you ever cried for your country? Have you ever shed tears for the evil that you see in America? Does it hurt your heart to see this great nation going the wrong way? It should. Do you have the heart of Jeremiah? Lamentations chapter 5, verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens. A lot of illegal aliens coming into our country. What is this? There's supposed to be borders. There's supposed to be law. You want to migrate to another nation, you're supposed to follow the law, not just walk right in and be given everything. Why don't they follow the law? We have orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptians and to the Assyrians. Maybe we should say we've given away a lot of our military stuff as we pulled out of a certain place and left a lot of equipment behind. Well, that wasn't very nice. To be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Verse 10. Now remember, this is God chastising and punishing Israel for their sin. But it's also prophetic in the future. God chastising Israel as well. Because verse 10 says, our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. When were the Jews ever put into an oven and turned black? In World War II with Hitler. And Hitler persecuted the Jews and burned them in ovens in the Holocaust. What a horrible thing. Will that ever happen in America? God forbid. Do you remember that Hitler started as a socialist, the National Socialist Party? Interesting. And we're seeing a resurgence of socialism in America. Are they going to hate Christians and conservatives and do the same to them as Hitler did to the Jews? I hope not. God forbid. I hope not. Look at verse 15 and 16. Lamentations 5, 15. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. I talk to so many people in America that are conservative and even those that are liberals. And they tell me the same thing. Man, I don't know what happened to my country. It's not the same. It's so different. Well, I know what happened. Verse 16. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us, for we have sinned. America is sinful. And sin brings sorrow. Are you sorrowful for Israel and what they went through? They're God's chosen people. You should have some sorrow for them and what they've gone through. But are you sorrowful for America? America was founded as a Christian nation. The national motto of America, I have it here on my tie, is "In God We Trust." But you ask many of those politicians in positions of power if they trust in God, they'll say no. Or they'll say, yeah, but their God is a very different God than the God of the Bible. Either they themselves think they're their own God, or their God is Lucifer and not the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is sin. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. And we have to recognize the problem. We have to recognize the cancer in America. The problem is sin. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Proverbs 14, 34. Righteousness exalteth the nation. America was the greatest nation on earth because they founded the Constitution upon the Bible and God. And the Bill of Rights, the amendments, you know, they are our God-given rights, the founder said. Righteousness. We want to be right with God. We want to do right and be moral. Righteousness exalted the nation. That's what made America the greatest nation that ever existed. But sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. America is sinful. So are all nations. It's not just America. It's other nations in Europe. It's other nations in Africa. It's other nations in Asia. All nations are turning against God and the Bible. And for that reason, the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this earth after the rapture in the tribulation period. America was once a God-fearing Christian nation, but not anymore. America is sinful. And America will be judged as Israel was judged for turning from God. Now, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I don't like to come to you and say this, but this is truth. And this is exactly what the Bible says is going to take place. And if you know your Bible, you know this. You know what's going to happen next. The Bible is history written before it takes place. And the Bible tells us that God's going to come, and He's going to come at the rapture and take out His bride, the church, the body of Christ. And then there will be 7 years of tribulation. The last 3.5 years are called the Great Tribulation. And that's when the book of Revelation says God will pour out His wrath upon the earth and judge the nations. But before that comes, do you realize that something could still happen to America? There could be a judgment to America, perhaps a war in which the war comes to our soil. You see, World War I, that was over in Europe. World War II, over in Europe. What if World War III is over in America? Boy, I'd hate to see that. I'd hate to see that. I don't want war. I'm not for war. I'm not pro-war. War brings sorrow. War brings death. God will judge America just as He did Israel. And God judged Israel by bringing in Babylon. And Babylon took the children of Israel in war. And what did they do? They took them into another nation, into captivity. And they destroyed the great city, Jerusalem. And the people of Israel suffered. Here's what Israel was like, Amos chapter 6, just before all that happened. The people of Israel got comfortable in their sin and became comfortable with sin. And no longer did they care to do right and live right and preach right and pray right. No longer did they care about being righteous. All they cared about was more sin. And Amos was a prophet. In Amos chapter 1, we read these words. Amos chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Listen to how Israel was in their pride. And tell me if this doesn't sound like America. Amos chapter 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye into Calneh, and see from whence go ye to Hamath the great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms? Are their border greater than your border? At least they had a border. Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. Huh. That lie upon beds of ivory. Ivory, you've got to be rich to buy ivory. And stretch themselves upon their couches. They're just a bunch of couch potatoes living in their parents' basement, sitting around all day doing nothing except complaining about, oh, I don't like what I see. I'm a social justice warrior. I'm going to go make a difference. The only way to make a difference is with God and the Bible. He is the difference. To leave God out is to leave out righteousness. Righteousness is what exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to all people. Israel was full of sin. They lied upon their beds of ivory. They stretched themselves upon their couches and ate the lambs of the flock and the calves of the midst of the stall. That chant to the sound of the viol and invent themselves instruments of music like David. Today we have evil music that is called rock and roll. Today we have Megadeth metal and things like this. And much of the music from Hollywood contains backmasking, in which there is a subliminal message. And the message is Satan, fornication, sin, wickedness. Look into that. There's so many videos on YouTube of backmasking and all the hidden messages in those. When I was a kid, we listened to Pink Floyd backwards. Was it The Wall? It was one of those. And it said, congratulations, you found the secret message. We took Stairway to Heaven and we played it backwards. And I'll never forget what I heard. Something to the effect of, my sweet Satan. You could hear plain as a bell playing that backwards. My friend actually took a tape apart and put it backwards and put it together and played Stairway to Heaven. Many of these people in Hollywood are Luciferians, wholly given over to Satan and to sin. And their goal is to get you to sin more. Because the more sinful the nation, the more suffering we'll have. Because then judgment will come. They're not your friends. They are the enemy. Because they don't want what's best for you. They want what's worse for you. Look at this. Verse 6. That drink wine in bowls. Who drinks wine in a bowl? Usually you use a little glass. But they were so sinful that all they cared about was just doing nothing and getting drunk. So, hey, don't just pour it in a little glass. Give me a whole big bowl and I can just gulp it down and drink the whole thing. What a sad thing. They drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But they are not aggrieved for the affliction of Joseph. They didn't care that their own people were suffering. All they cared about was, what can I get out of all this? I want to be rich. I want to have money. It's all about me. Who cares about my fellow man and my fellow citizen? Does that sound like the swamp to you, maybe? Does that sound like, I don't know, modern day politicians who are fed by the lobbyists and get all the perks and all the freebies and become rich, but they truly don't care about the little guy like you and me? That's what it sounds like to me. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. God says, you turned against me, so I'll back away and watch you fall. Watch you be destroyed from the inside out and from the outside in. From the top down and the bottom up. I'll watch your destruction. And I will see what happens because you chose sin rather than God. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that's scary. I don't want America to fall. But we're beginning to see it. We're beginning to see it. What is the problem? Why is America falling? Why are so many against God and the Bible? Well, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10. And I'm going to place the blame where the blame needs to be placed. You know whose fault it is? It's the preacher's fault. It used to be preachers would stand up and preach against sin. In the Old Testament, God told the prophets, cry aloud and spare not. Paul says, them that sin rebuke before all, that all may fear. God set up on this earth preachers that are supposed to go around and say, no, that's sin. Don't do this. Don't do that. It's wicked. It's evil. It's awful. And it'll bring the destruction of not only you, but of your country if you continue in those sins. But there are so few pastors left in this world that will preach against sin. They are to blame for not doing what God has called them to do. I wonder if some of them are even saved. Many of them, most of them are even saved. Not only will they not preach against sin, they are engaging in it themselves and delighting in it and loving it and even teaching others how to do it themselves. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 19. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, and to set up my curtains. Now watch this, verse 21. For the pastors are become brutish. What does brutish mean? It means carnal. And have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper. Yet today we have the prosperity gospel. And many of the so-called pastors are all, prosper, prosper. Oh, well, if you serve God, you'll prosper. Prosperity gospel, prosper, prosper. They're the first ones that are going to fall through all this. It's the devil that's letting them prosper because they have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Preachers are the problem because they're preaching more about carnal things than spiritual things. And they will not call sin what it is. They're afraid of people making fun of them and mocking them and things like that. Why won't they preach on sin? Why won't they tell the truth? What's the answer? Jeremiah 6, 26. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 26. Jeremiah 6, 26, we read. Oh, daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Interesting, Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, and he died. Israel should be mourning over the fact that they killed their Messiah, but they're not. But it says, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. Jeremiah would go throughout Israel and warn them, it's coming, judgment is coming. God's going to judge us for our sin. Stop your sinning. Stop your wickedness. Stop your meanness. Quit being evil. Do right. And they'd laugh at him. And they'd mock at him. Say, that crazy idiot. No, it's fine. We're good. Everything's great. Look at the great peace we have. And look at that. The economy is fine. And yet it was not. There was inflation. And look at how great everything is. Everything's just wonderful. And he would say, no, you're sinning. And we are about to have a lot of sorrow and mourning and grief. Because we're about to fall. And they mocked him and laughed at him. And God, through him, said, you people need to get on your knees. You people need to get in sackcloth of ashes. And you need to make bitter lamentation. You need to cry. You need to repent. You need to feel sorry for your sins as a nation. Look at Joel. Well, let's go to Joel. Yeah, look at Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 is a great passage. And this was God speaking to the people of Israel through a prophet of what they should do. But they didn't listen. There are still some good godly men out there who are pastors that are trying to warn people and who are preaching against sin, but people won't listen. They mock them. They make fun of them. They attack them. They try to discredit them. Oh, don't listen to that guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, he's just a hateful person. No, it's because of love that I try to warn you of the evil that is to come. And it's coming. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Do you ever cry and feel sorry for your sin? Do you ever feel horrible for what you've done? How about what America has done? Do you ever cry for America and weep and pray for them and fast for your nation and say, oh God, please be merciful. Help our nation get right. Or do you even care? What's the next verse? Verse 13, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. God doesn't want to judge us. God doesn't want to destroy America. But you leave him no choice when you're in your sin and your heart is hardened and you want to do evil and you're happy with the evil. God says, no, get on your face. Get down on your knees and cry out to him and say, God, help me do right. I repent. I repent. Now, that's not how we get saved as an individual. As an individual, we get saved through faith in what Jesus did. But I'm talking about the national forgiveness. Do you care enough about your nation to have days of prayer? Do you care enough about your nation to fast for this nation? Do you care enough to even open your mouth and speak against the evil that you see? Now they are censoring people. And they're telling people, no, you don't even have a right to talk. And they'll take down their channels, or they'll take down their this or that. And it's like, wow. The God-given right is the right to the freedom of speech. And because they hate God, they're trying to take that away. If ever there was a time to speak out, it's now, and even the more. A lot of people love to run to this passage in 2 Chronicles, and they try to apply it to today. But remember, it's Old Testament to Israel. But I would like to spiritually apply it, that if it was the principle for them then, and for their nation, we can certainly say that's a good principle for us today as a nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I hate to see America destroyed. It's a great nation, or it was. But what I don't like is to see the sin. Because the more it goes into sin, the sooner judgment is coming. And the sooner we'll have sorrow and heartache and mourning and pain and anguish and chastisement and oppression from others. And that's not what we want. We want everyone to be truly free. How do you be free? Well, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's no freedom without God and the Bible. Christ shall set you free. You shall be free indeed. He'll make you free. You'll be free indeed. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I find it amazing. How many people go to this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, but you watch it. When they read this verse, it's like they skip over a couple of words. I very seldom hear them, when they try to quote this verse, quote the part about turn from their wicked way. Why do they leave that out? Well, they just want to come to God with their wicked way and in their sins. And that's kind of sad. As a nation, we need to turn to God by putting aside our sin. Okay? But 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Why do they always leave out that part? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. So God is speaking to Israel as a nation and saying, if you guys as a nation will get right and get rid of all the sin and get right as a nation, then I will attend to you and I will hear you and I'll heal you. America, unfortunately, is a divided land. It's been divided for years. And on purpose, they're trying to divide it. I'm not going to get into politics, but you know what's happening. America was founded as a capitalist constitutional government, a republic. In come the communists and their democracy, and they're trying to overthrow America. And they want a socialistic communist government. And they have, over the years in schools, through their propaganda, through their indoctrination, have tried to make people think that communism is the answer, and they have divided America into two polar opposites that are very distinctly different. One side wants freedom and independence. The other side wants to silence and ban people and make everyone be like them. That sounds like, you know, oppression and tyranny to me. And much of communism is anti-God and anti-Bible. Communism is making the state God. But communism allows sin. In fact, communism encourages sin. If you go the way of communism, God has no choice but to judge this nation. It's time we stood up, stood together, and cried aloud against the evil that has taken over our land. And say, no, we can't do that. Can America get right with God? Can America unite together on what we were founded on, God and the Bible? Get back to the Bible, which is the book of morals, and agree, you know, the Bible says, yeah, we shouldn't murder. Yeah, the Bible says we shouldn't lie. The Bible says we shouldn't steal. Let's get back to that. Let's all become moral people that obey the Bible instead of go against it. If they can, then God could heal this country. But I honestly don't see that happening. But I don't want to discourage you. I want to encourage you. Hey, let's try. Let's go witness to people. Let's go tell people the truth. Let's give people gospel tracts. Let's give people Bibles. Let's try to encourage people to live for God. And let's warn them, hey, if you don't choose God, you are the reason our country is falling. You are the reason that our country will be destroyed. And we know who you are. But we love you. We want to see you get saved. We must get back to the Bible. It's back to the Bible or back to the jungle. Many of those tribes in the jungle, they were headhunters. And they would just go around and chop off each other's heads. They had no respect for one another. They had no morals. It was just, I'll do whatever I want. In a society like that, there's no freedom. There's no peace. Do you really want tribalism again? Do you really want a world that's like The Walking Dead, where you don't know who to trust, and you get together with groups, and there's always another group that's trying to kill your group, that's trying to kill the other group? Is that really the kind of world that you want? Sadly, we have a world full of zombies who don't want to wake up. They're dead spiritually, and they don't want to see the truth, and they don't want to follow the Bible. And the Bible tells us that because of that, in the last days, there will be perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul tells us this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. That this is what a world will be in the last days. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why are they perilous? Because people have turned to sin and away from God. And they're saying, no, 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 I just want to do more evil. And I want the right to do evil. And then they do evil toward others. And now, you can't trust many people. Now, you're the bad guy just because someone else says so. And you're evil because you're not going along with their agenda. Even though you've done nothing wrong, they force it on you and say, no, 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 you have to accept this. And you have to accept my speech. And you have to accept my lifestyle. And if you say anything against it, you're a bigot. You're a racist. You're a misogynist. You're all these things. And they're attacking you day and night, because you will not be like them. And they hate you because you say, no, 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 I choose God, I choose the Bible, I choose to be independent and be my own person and not sin. I don't want to run with you in your folly and sin with you. And I can't. Now you're the bad guy. That's so sad. That's why perilous times will come. And the Bible says this, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's the problem. People love themselves more than they love their nation and their country and others. I was always taught as a kid, you put others above yourself. Others first, then you. Respect them and do for them and then for yourself. That's the mark of a person who's trying to do right. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers." Boy, we see that day and night, don't we? Lots of false accusers in the world. "False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Isn't that what America is like? A whole lot of people out there that hate us who claim to be Christians and conservatives. And they say, "Oh, you goody two-shoes, we hate you because you don't accept us." No, it's not that I don't accept you. I don't accept sin. Traitors, huh? Traitor. What is a traitor? That someone that is against the laws of their nation and against their nation. "Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with lust, led away with diverse lusts." Laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Then it talks about in verse 8, Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses, the guy that wrote the first five books of the Bible. "So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." These are the ones that are destroying our country. And you know who else's fault it is? The preachers that aren't preaching against them and their evil and their sin. But we have a promise here that says, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." The people that are sinful, the people that are wicked, the people that are ungodly, the people that are doing wrong and that are bringing down our nation, they will be exposed, the Bible says. And what a wonderful day that will be, when they are judged for their sins. I just don't want that judgment to fall on us who haven't done anything. But it's a national thing. Every one of us must give account to God of himself. But as a nation, there are good and bad in the nation. And when God's judgment is poured out on a nation, sometimes the good people suffer. We don't want to see that. So why don't they get right? Why don't they repent? Why don't they declare, "Hey, I've done wrong. I'm going to do right." And why can't we have a righteous, just nation again? Why is there so much wickedness? Paul continues there, and he talks about himself in verse 10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." And he goes on. And he says in verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And I know a lot of people who are Christians who are telling me, "Brother, I'm already suffering." People in this world who are lost, people in this world who are evil, people in this world who are Satanists, people in this world who are just ungodly, they look down on me because I love God and the Bible and I just want to do right. As it says before, they're haters of those, despisers of those that are good. But it continues, verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Unfortunately, I wish I could bring you the good news that it's all going to be good, because all the bad people are going to get right with God and it'll all be hunky-dory and we'll all have a great nation again. But sadly, that's probably not what's going to happen. In fact, it's probably going to get worse. But that's more reason for us to get down on our knees and pray, to fast, to mourn, to weep for the condition of our country, and to pray for these people, and speak the truth, and tell what the Bible says. It says in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." We're only saved through faith. Faith in what? Faith in the blood, the atonement of Christ. And the Bible is the way of salvation. It's the way that a nation can be saved, if the whole nation gets right, but it's the way of how an individual can be forgiven of all sin and go to heaven. And it's only through Jesus Christ. And it says, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I want to reprove you today if you're doing wrong. I want to correct you. Quit sinning and do right. I want to instruct you. Hey, get back to this book and do what it says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's go to Psalms 119. The Lord laid this on my heart this week to talk about, because I see America heading the wrong direction. And it hurts to see something that you love destroy itself. So I want to encourage it. All people, either you're saved or you're lost. If you're an American citizen and you're watching this, can you get right? Can you please turn to God in the Bible and do what the Bible says, repent? Otherwise, there's going to be a whole lot of lamentation. You're going to be crying when you see the destruction that comes on this nation. Psalms 119, verse 9 through 11. It says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. David said, look, I don't want to do evil, God. I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to see the destruction of Israel. I make up my mind, I'm going to do right. I'm going to follow the Bible. God honored that and gave him a son named Solomon. And Solomon set up the kingdom of Israel and ruled, and there was peace all throughout all that he had. And it was a peaceful time, and the nation was exalted by the righteousness of King David. Oh, if only we could have, I don't know, a president that would come in and would say, from now on we get back to God in the Bible. From now on we don't kill people. We don't harm people. We don't steal from people. We don't lie. We do right, and we all come together on the same page. No more socialist, communist garbage. All we do is follow the Constitution. No more lying and deceiving and hatred and riots in the street and burning down things. None of that. We all respect one another so that we have a righteous nation and a righteous government. All laws on the books that are evil and wicked, if only those could be undone. But do you think that will happen? I wanted to read Ephesians chapter 6, but I won't. There's too much to go into there. But read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. That talks about the armor of the Lord and what we need to wear, the spiritual armor that we need who are saved. Because we're in a battle for the soul of this nation. And there are people in our nation that claim to be fellow citizens who hate us and are against us and are actively working to bring about the destruction of our country. And that's so sad. That's so sad. I'll close with Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18 talks about Babylon, Mystery Babylon, in chapter 17. And Mystery Babylon is mentioned in chapter 17, and in chapter 18, God tells us to stay away from that Mystery Babylon. Now, I believe it has to do with a certain church. I believe it has to do with a certain teaching. I believe it has to do with a certain location. But I also believe Mystery Babylon encompasses the agenda of Satan and Satan's way of working in this world. And so I think Mystery Babylon is going on now. And I think it's all leading up to an agenda to bring in the Antichrist. And look what the Bible says in Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Mystery Babylon is working today. And it's huge. It's globalism, basically. And it allows sin. And it sets up more sin and more sin. And it's the most sinful, wicked system that's ever been devised in the history of the world. And God says to come out of her, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and I see no sorrow. The world system, call whatever you want, globalism, call it the new world order, call it Luciferianism, call it the Antichrist agenda, call it the satanic spirit of Antichrist, whatever you want to call it. They're trying to set up a one world government over the whole world. And it's all so they can get richer and you can get poorer. And make you into their cattle, in which you take their mark, the mark of the beast. And they lord over you, and they control you. And the rich people are sitting and laughing at you and using you for their own sinful means. That's sad. But the Bible says she will have sorrow. You know, they might not have much sorrow right now because they have their mansions and their riches and things like that, but they will. Because verse 8 says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. If you're on the side of Mystery Babylon, it's all going to be gone in one day. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise even more. They're going to cry when they lose everything. They're not crying over their sin. They're crying over the judgment that takes everything they have away. If they just would have realized, man, maybe we should have cried over our sin and got right with God, and then maybe this judgment might not have come. But when judgment comes, realize it's your fault because of your sin. And the way to get rid of your sins is to come to Jesus Christ. You trust Jesus as your Savior by trusting in the blood atonement that He shed on the cross. For without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Jesus shed His blood to die. He died for your sins. If you'll come to Him by faith and trust in His blood, Romans 3:25, through faith in His blood, then you'll be forgiven of all your sins. And one thing for sure, you'll never know the judgment of God for all eternity in hell. You'll be saved from hell. Now, whether you go through something here in America or in your country, whatever country you're in, that's something entirely different. If there's some sort of a national disaster or a national war or a national economic collapse, you might suffer that and mourn. But it's better to know you're saved because you won't be mourning for all eternity. So there's my message. Not exactly something that I wanted to talk to you about. Judgment is coming. I mean, that's basically the message. And you're going to cry. You might think you're a big man. I don't cry, Mr. Breaker. I never cried. The things that are coming to this world because of the sin, let me just say this, are going to make you cry. They're going to take the breath away from you. The tears will be falling down your face. The snot will be running out your nose. The spit will be running down your beard. And you'll be crying out to God saying, no, make it stop! The Bible even says in the tribulation period, those that aren't saved will try to hide themselves under the rock and call out to God and say, let it fall upon us. Let the rocks fall upon us. We want to die. Are you ready for what's coming? The best way to be ready for what's coming is to prepare spiritually by getting saved. I want you to get saved. I want you to get right with God. Come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.